Well, good evening. I'm going to have to ask you to watch me, and if I get too close to this pit, yell. Because, as you know, I'm a mover, and I'm a bit scared right now. I wanted to start this evening where we're going to end, with the words of Revelation 5. And they're just words of worship, and they're words that just echo our heart's response when we think of what Christ has done for us this Easter time. So Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14 says this: "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down and worshipped." I want to admit that I've been a little sad this week. And I've been sad because I considered something that I'd never thought about before. And that is that we make Easter so small. And I think it's partly because it's so much part of the gospel that actually we think about it quite often. But we forget to mark it as something that's incredible and remarkable. I think it's partly because even though the whole country takes a holiday, it isn't a celebration that we mark like we do Christmas. Instead, we celebrate with eggs and bunnies. And don't even get me started on why eggs and bunnies together, because that just doesn't make sense. But none of it comes close to the fact that Easter is the most powerful and momentous celebration of our whole year. And I think we've also made Easter so much about us. And I think I'm more guilty of this than anyone. Because we make it about our own faith and our own spiritual life in the here and the now. And we've condensed it to the thought that Jesus is alive so I can have a relationship with him. And that is true. And that is amazing. And it is so much part of the gospel. But it isn't all that Easter is about. We've also made it about our future hope. Because Jesus' resurrection means that there is life beyond this earthly existence, and we can follow him there. And that is true, and that is amazing, and it is so much part of the gospel, but it isn't all that Easter is. Because that day when Jesus burst full of life out of the tomb was the first day of God's new world. And on that day, there was a shift that I don't think we always comprehend. Because we get stuck on Friday. We get stuck on the fact that Christ died, that he was put to death because of an injustice, that he died on the cross for my sin, for your sin, for the sin of the world. He died because the world holds so much in it that is wrong. And so we leave Jesus on the cross. And we forget to move into Sunday. And yet Sunday proclaimed so loudly with trumpets and cymbals and cheering crowds and thunderclaps that God has won. The victory is his. On Easter Sunday, we remember Christ's resurrection, which is the victory of God over all evil. It is the victory of the God of love over all tyranny and all that is wrong in this world. Easter Sunday declares with a shout that God is God. and that his kingdom shall come, and his will be done. So I ask you, how can we scale Easter down to eggs and bunnies when the world has been changed? How can we dwell on Friday and leave Jesus dead on the cross when on Sunday he is risen from the tomb? Death is defeated and he is glorious in victory. Well, in Revelation 1, John describes the vision he has of the risen Christ. In chapter 1, verses 12 to 16, it says this: I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Christ appears in that moment to be so awesome. I'm not surprised that John fell down. But hear this. It goes on to say, then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I found out this week that is the most common commandment in all scripture. Do not fear, do not be afraid. And yet it goes on to say, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. The tyrants of this world base their power on their ability to kill. Whether it's our own invisible sin that robs us of freedom and life, or whether it is those visible tyrants in the world who threaten the lives of individuals. They claim to have the keys to death and Hades, but they're wrong. I think that many of us fear death. But if the worst that this world can do to us is release us into an eternal life with God, then we can take heart in Jesus' words. Do not be afraid, because he has the power. Where the power of this world ends, God's power begins, because he is the one with power to raise the dead. Further on in John's vision, we see the other effects of Easter. In 5, verses 1 to 4, it says this: then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept, because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. What that's speaking about is the scroll that is God's plan. It is his strategy for salvation, and somebody has to open it in order for the plan to take place. But nobody can do it. And so John weeps in his utter hopelessness. But that passage goes on to say, then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. Here is an amazing picture of Easter. That Jesus, the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has become for the world the sacrificial lamb. And by his death, he has defeated all evil, so that now the plan of God, his rescue operation for every one of us, is put into action. And now, because of what Christ has done on the cross, the battle is over and the victory belongs to God. I love that this scene ends with the song of all creation sung in worship. And it goes back, that's that passage that I read at the beginning. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." And I wonder if you can picture it, just for a moment. The tumultuous music, the multitude of tens of thousands of thousands of thousands of voices in praise and glory to God who is triumphant. As every creature in heaven and earth praises God and says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." That is how Easter is celebrated in God's reality. And what we do is we add our own line of worship to the heavenly song, celebrating together the world reborn. Yet in the midst of all of that, John's tears are wiped away. And it causes me to think of another who wept for Jesus. The passage that was read this morning from John 20, it says this, "But Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they've put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned towards him and cried out, 'Rabboni.'" Mary weeping outside the empty tomb stands for us all. She weeps for herself. She weeps for her Lord. But she also weeps for her hope, which has been dashed by tyranny, until Jesus calls to her and wipes away her tears. But when we think of Mary and her tears, we should also think of all of those tears that we see today. For the mothers of those children who didn't get out of the ferry in South Korea. For people in Syria and Ukraine. And all around the world, people are crying in their hopelessness. In our own neighbourhoods, there are tears of people who face tyranny and tragedy every day and lack the resources to meet them. Yet just as Jesus calls to Mary and wipes away her tears, he calls to each of us. And he says to each of us too, "Do not be afraid. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." And so Easter is also about the wiping away of tears. Mary weeps at Jesus' tomb, and he comes to meet her alive. John weeps because there is no one who can open the scroll of God's salvation plan, and the world cannot be rescued from tyranny, and his tears turn to worship because of the Lamb who was slain. For us, in the hopelessness that we feel, Jesus meets us too. This Lion of Judah who became for us the Lamb, who by his blood evil and death have been defeated and we have been rescued from the tyranny of this world. This King of Kings who did all of this because he loves us and desires to wipe away our tears and call us into the future hope of an eternity spent with him in a new heaven and earth. So on this Easter Sunday, let's not dwell on the events of Friday, but let's celebrate that Sunday came. Christ is risen. On that day, God defeated death and evil, and with a shout declared that he is God, that his kingdom shall come, and his will be done. It is because of Sunday that we have hope, because Christ is alive forevermore, and he alone holds the keys to death and Hades. It is because of Sunday that we know all tears will be wiped away. So in that knowledge, I encourage you to be people who live in a world of Sundays, ministering to those who still live in a world of Fridays. And as our tears are wiped away, so we ought to dry one another's tears. As we go on from this Easter Sunday, we go on worshipping and joyful. And as we're going to stand together and sing our next song in just a moment, we join with the songs of heaven, proclaiming, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen."